This is going to be verse by verse of Romans chapter 15. And we're going to look at the subject of dangers of not reading the King James Bible. So getting right into it, if you neglect your Bible, you will have a hard time edifying another. How are you going to edify another Christian without that which edifies? Romans 15:1-2 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." So in chapter 14, we learned how we shouldn't use our liberty in Christ to offend a weaker brother. And if you're strong, you need to bear the infirmities of the weak. Edify your neighbor. You need to help him grow in the Lord. You're not trying to just, you know, be a jerk and use your liberty in Christ to offend him. Maybe he's against some things that aren't necessarily a sin. He's got some standards and convictions against some things that aren't a sin, but you do those things. But you don't have to do those things when he's around. And it will be hard for you to be the strong one if you're not daily in the Scriptures. How are you going to bear the infirmities of the weak? How can you lead a brother or sister for their good to edification if you're not in the book? Romans 14:19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." And you don't see much of that today. All you really see is people just edifying themselves, especially in the charismatic movement. All the people getting up saying, you know, "I'm speaking in tongues," and they're not edifying everybody else, they're edifying themselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." So we need to comfort one another, edify one another. And how can you edify another if you aren't being edified yourself? If you're being edified, then you're being instructed and improved. And you do this for yourself when you read the book, when you listen to a biblical sermon. This is how you grow in the Lord. And if you're not growing yourself, how can you help someone else grow? How can a baby help another baby grow? 1 Corinthians 10:23 says, "All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not." So there's some things that don't edify, but the Scriptures do. We should stick with the book. Now, Romans 15, 1 through 2. "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification." So this book doesn't teach to please ourselves, but to please others first. And the order of who to please is Jesus first, of course, others second, and then you last. Galatians 6:2 says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So we need to bear the infirmities of the weak. We need to worry about pleasing others and edifying others, and not so much about ourselves all the time. And we're living in perilous times where people are lovers of their own selves. Now, number two, what's another danger of neglecting the Word of God? Without reading the book, you can't follow the Lord's example. It's kind of hard to follow in His steps if you don't know His character. Do you know much about the Lord Jesus Christ? It says in Romans 15:3, "For even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me." So the Lord left the riches of heaven and came down to die for man. He didn't live for Himself. He lived a sinless life for you. He died on the cross for you and was buried and resurrected for you. And in Philippians 2:4-5, Paul says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." If you don't stay in the Scriptures, reading about the Lord Jesus Christ, read those Gospels every day, then you're not going to be able to follow the Lord's example and see how He put others first. He laid down His life for His friends. And the mentality today that people have is, I need to make myself happy. I need to worry about myself. Myself comes first. But when Jesus was at the store, he didn't run people over with his buggy to get to the next aisle. He wasn't running people over on Black Friday trying to rip through the pallets. Jesus Christ didn't blow his horn at someone who didn't start driving as soon as the light turned green. That wasn't his character. He wasn't looking out for old number one, as they say, even though he is number one, because the Bible says in all things he might have the preeminence. He would even put the Diotrephes first, who loveth to have the preeminence. You know, he put people first. Romans 15:3 is actually quoting Psalm 69:8-9, which says, I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. And you see how all throughout the Old Testament you see prophecies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reproach fell on Jesus Christ, but he took it not to please himself, obviously, but for others. And a daily reading of the Gospels, get you like 5 chapters in the Gospels every day, can help you walk with Jesus Christ and follow his example. Now moving on, if you don't want to read the Scriptures, then you won't know the Bible characters or the Bible stories, and so much truth can be gained just from reading the simple stories about the characters in the Bible. If you don't like reading 1st and 2nd Chronicles and 1st and 2nd Kings, that's where some of the greatest stories in the Bible are. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So all things written in the Old Testament, that's the things written aforetime, are written for our learning. Not just the New Testament, and not just the Pauline epistles. The whole Bible should be preached and taught, should be read and memorized, and rightly divided. But it's a shame that people don't really know a lot of the great Old Testament characters just because they've neglected to read the Bible. And I've talked to people who thought Moses baptized Jesus. You know, they said, was it Moses that baptized Jesus? I've talked to people who thought David committed adultery with Delilah. I've talked to people who thought Samson's name was Hercules. They thought Hercules was the one who knocked down the pillars. But as Jesus always said, have you not read these stories? The things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. What have you been reading? A lot of people are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And there are people constantly learning, but instead of getting smarter, they're getting dumber. It's not that way when you learn from the Bible. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And a lot of people only get comfort from the Scriptures and don't get into the doctrine. They just go to the Scriptures for comfort. And some people just go to the Bible and focus on the doctrine and the prophecy and never get the comfort from the Bible. But there have been times when I didn't even care about the doctrine. I just needed something for comfort. But comfort comes from the book and the Holy Spirit. And verse 4 shows us that it gives us hope. And when we see these Old Testament characters mess up and get back up, it gives us hope. When you see that David committed adultery and did these horrible sins, and you know, Peter, you know, denied the Lord 3 times, Abraham lied, Noah got drunk, Adam and Eve ate the fruit, you know, all these people, great heroes of the faith, sinned, and yet Noah's called a preacher of righteousness. David's a man after God's own heart. You know, all these people in the hall of faith in Hebrews. So that shows us that even though maybe we've messed up, we can get comfort and hope that, you know, we can be even greater than we were before. But moving on, another thing you miss out on if you reject Bible reading is you won't be like-minded with the brethren. Romans 15:5 says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. For example, look at a Christian who reads the Bible and one who doesn't read the Bible. The one who reads the Bible has the Bible for his final authority, and the other one who doesn't read the Bible just has his own opinion of what he thinks is right and wrong. And many times what we think is right is actually wrong, and what we think is wrong is actually right. And if two Christians are hanging out together and one doesn't read the Bible and the other one does, they're not going to see eye to eye many times. And the more a person reads the book, the more his religion and tradition gets knocked off of him. And that is if he will take the book over his, you know, denomination and religion and tradition. And someone religious isn't going to see eye to eye with someone with pure religion and the tradition taught by Paul in the epistles. And one will have a biblical view and one will have a religious view. The one who doesn't read the Bible is going to have the religious view that he's going to go by as what's right from wrong. But the one who reads the book is going to have the book telling him what's right and wrong. And if two people are both reading the book daily, they're going to be talking about stuff and they're going to see things eye to eye. They're going to be like-minded with each other. And the danger of not reading the book is you're not going to be like-minded with other Bible-believing Christians. Romans 15, 5 through 6 says, "Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord wants us, for the most part, to believe the same doctrine. And there are some things that we just can't budge on. We can't, you know, we can't look over if someone disagrees on some certain things. But there are some things that are just so minor that we can disagree and keep staying in fellowship. For example, I don't fellowship with someone who thinks water baptism saves, but I can fellowship with someone who believes in a post-tribulation rapture. I won't fellowship with someone who says there is more than one way to heaven, but I'll fellowship with someone who believes Enoch is one of the two witnesses instead of Elijah. There's some things that I'm not going to break fellowship over. I'm not going to break fellowship over someone who doesn't believe there's a gap between the first two verses of the Bible. I'm not going to break fellowship over something like what shape they believe the world's in. You know, things like that. But there's some things we have to break fellowship, some things we don't have to. But for the most part, the Lord wants us to have the same doctrine. For example, He wants us all to believe salvation is by grace through faith without works. You know, He wants us to be like-minded on these things. And Paul says that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. If our motive is to please God and not ourselves, then we're going to glorify God no matter what minor disagreements our friends may have.